I'd like to call the meeting officially to order. And it's nice to see some faces that we haven't seen, but most of the people have been coming back because they're here this meeting. A more fancy, of course. Nevertheless, this is an interim too. Okay. We have had minutes. We've had two meetings since this, well, we had the meeting last time, and we had a special meeting on December 10th, which I'd like to talk about. But for the sake of the housekeeping we have to do, we have to talk about the minutes from the meeting on November 18th. Other than Scott and I having our birthday celebration. Okay. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Now, the minutes you've got, not the committee gets minutes, do you? Only the committee gets minutes. Yeah. We like to keep it quiet, right?
Now, they get posted on the website after
they're approved. That's true, on the website. Okay. That's that. So, may I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Who made the motion? Who made the motion?
Okay. Fran.
All right, thank you.
Anna.
Okay.
So that's that. Now, on December 2nd, Jill, come on, you want to step in? Get over here, girl.
Okay.
You're not going to get away that easy. This is Jill McCoy. Jill is on the committee from the Department of Health and Social Services, DSAPID. I'm always, you know, I'm confused about whether I should say you're from DSAPID or from, you know, the DARC. What, or is it?
Well, the ADRC is ADRC. Within DSAPID, so
right.
The Aging and Disability Resource Center is within the Division of Services for Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities, which is part of the Department of Health and Social Services.
Right.
So probably the easiest thing would just be to say that I'm with DSAPID.
DSAPID.
And then, you know,
then
people want to know what you do within.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, because we have, you know, CSP and APS and
ADRC.
Yeah. But this group all knows.
That could be fun.
Okay. So I have correspondence. Oh. The December 10th minutes, I'd like to defer that because I'm going to have a discussion about a lot of this. May I defer that, Sue? Is that allowed?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I want to talk about it a little bit more, fill people in on what we did who weren't there. We didn't brave the storm, and I was very surprised that we even had anybody there. Okay, correspondence. We have some of the correspondence I have sent out to everybody. One is, we had gotten a very lovely Aging in Place conference. It was supposed to be Thursday, and it was weathered out, and it's now this Thursday, and we're hoping for the same kind of turnout, maybe more. But there was really, the press later was really, they had really good articles. I don't know if anybody had, particularly this one. This one hit the big papers.
The News Journal.
The News Journal. So we have a little booth kiosk there, and so that's why we had this rush job on the brochure. And I have 200 of these already. Could you give us? Here, tell you what. Why don't you give these out as people come in and the guests come? Okay. Susan didn't know. We do have another version that Sue worked on and tweaked, but I don't have any more of those. Anyway, unfortunately, I already made 200 of these. Good morning. And I, in order to have them for last Thursday's event, so I'm going to have to use them until, you know, we have to go back for more. But we've never, as I said before, we've never had one for 20 years, so. And I wanted to tell Bruce Vitamin actually, practically every word there is Ruth's, mm-hmm. and she laid it all out, and it's, and then I tweaked a little bit, and then my IT person, Scott Phillips, tweaked it some more, and then our friend Sue Webb tweaked it some more. So what I was wondering if you could give, not today necessarily, but what you can do is, you if you take it with you and can email me anything that you think might need changing, anything grammatical or something, like we put an apostrophe in it's or not it's or anything, well, we can get it changed. Okay, so the correspondence was about that, about the forum, which is next Thursday the 30th at Cape Henlopen High School.
This Thursday,
5:30 to 8:30
Doors will be open to the public at 5:15
5:15 to 9:00 Cool. Okay. And then I also sent out to a lot, most of you who are on, you're all on our mailing list, our email distribution list, correct? So you probably, are you on?
Do you know?
I don't think so.
You think
I
you get forwarded?
You today.
Okay. Okay. there is the CARE Delaware, which stands for, that's one of your programs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Well, anyway, CARE Delaware, that's one thing about acronyms. They don't always say what they are. But it is a program that assists, as I recall, companion.
It's a caregiver respite program.
A caregiver respite program. Right. And they're looking for a person or a family that's willing to be in, I guess, a film they're making?
Yeah, she was contacted by an organization out in New York that was looking to do a documentary here in Delaware. They wanted to travel, they wanted to follow, I think, for a year, a newly diagnosed person. And she will be there Thursday night.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so will the agency out of New York that's looking for the family will also be there Thursday night as well.
Oh. Now it says the, I think I did email this guy, or forward this to you. I think we did, right, Sue? Anyway, I'll give you this.
Okay, thanks.
They're looking for individuals brand new to caregiving role and in need of paid caregiving services, prefers an adult child taking on an adult parent, new to caregiving and seeking assistance, and new to working the caregiving system. You think they're going to have time to come on Thursday? I don't know.
That's what the plan was.
Willing to allow a small filming crew to come to their home for over a period of 1 year, not every day, but at different times to film the document. Film it. Document the journey of becoming a new caregiver and learn how to work the system of resources for caregiving. That's a tough to have this new person. Of course, if they don't know what they're going to have to do, it won't be as daunting. Those of us have been through this and know how daunting it can be. Having a film crew in your house isn't the best.
Yeah, especially when it's all new to you.
Yeah.
Because you know, they're looking for the new.
So anyway, I thought our group, and I sent it, I thought we sent this.
I don't think so, Sally. I don't.
All right. Did any of you get this?
It doesn't sound familiar to me.
I got it via a different channel, actually, from Dennis. Dennis Legal.
Burnett, I guess, up in anyway. Does anybody want that information? Does anybody think they have anybody they'd like to?
I think it would be good. I can pass it on to Al Morris because our transitions clients. I mean, they're at the very beginning of their journey.
Okay.
And most of them do have home health in there, so at least if he knows about it, he can ask. And he'll be at the forum with me on Thursday night.
By CARE Delaware is Caregiver Assistance, Respite, and Education.
Very good. Oh, Jill.
I'm like, wait a minute, I have to remember my own program. Now I have to remember other people's too, but no, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Should I send it to you and then you can send it out?
I can go ahead and send it out from here.
Oh, you
can? I can take this and send it.
Are you going to scan that or something?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. Thanks, Sue.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay, the other thing is, real quick, we have the, I'll have this flyer next time for you. In fact, they're going to deliver some on Thursday. I'm sorry? Oh, we need, Larry.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's why she sits in the front row.
Young mom.
It is an old face, not an old face.
Thank you.
An old face is fine.
It's nice to see you too. Thank you, very nice.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
And we, you know, it's a small county, we just, you know, rotate around in different positions.
Isn't it?
I know. Right?
And we all know what we're doing.
Anyway, there's a holistic health fair coming up on March 29th, 2014, 9:30 to 4:30 at the Cape Henlopen High School. They have a keynote speaker, Dr. Nancy G-A-H-L-E-S, Power of Self-Care. Looks like a really good, great mission. And I'm going to be getting this, did I send this to anybody yet? No? Okay. Probably forwarded it. Okay, I'm going to definitely, this one looks good too.
Great. Yeah, we've attended that in the past, and that is,
yeah,
it's a very nice one.
Educational program, exhibitors, if you want to bring your kids, they have a kids zone, demonstrations and workshops. Only problem is they're having organic and natural foods. That's all. I got to throw some humor into these meetings, don't you think? Yes.
Did you say who's sponsoring that?
It is sponsored by...
Say Naj, but...
Dr.
Wellnet. 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 W-E-L-L-N-E-T.
Is there a number or something?
Yes, call Patty. 302-227-2233, extension 15. And I will promise you I'll have, they said they were going to, we were supposed to get them last Thursday at the holistic, at the event, aging event, but since we didn't have it, we didn't get the rendezvous, so she told me she'd bring us the stuff this Thursday, but I can email this out to you. Sure. Okay.
I circulated out here a little bit.
Yeah, I think this is, it's in our correspondence. Let me just take a quick look here. Okay. Now, we will turn it over to Anna to announce our speaker.
Okay.
And I think that's it on correspondence.
Today we have Mr. Robert Corsa. He is a commissioner with the Delaware Commission of Veterans Affairs, and he's going to give us a presentation on TBI and ABI, the silent epidemic.
You can do whatever you want, Bobby. You want to move that over, use it, whatever you want to do.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Robert Corser, and I am a commissioner with the Delaware Commission of Veterans Affairs. Veterans are my only business, I like to say. I'm a retired New York City police officer, and I'm in Delaware for approximately 12 years now, 14 years, and it's a great state to be in. I'm also very heavily involved with veterans and their issues. I'm also a TBI survivor. I was in Vietnam and I was blown up. I have a piece of shrapnel in my brain to this day that I walk around with. To do this real quickly so I don't have to revisit it again, the shrapnel in my brain caused me to lose my job with the New York City Police Department because of seizures, which I developed 17 years after the fact. Needless to say, I was very angry, very upset. I didn't understand what was going on. No one ever explained any of this to me. Back in that war, we wanted to go home. And as far as medical I mean, it just wasn't there. And people shake their head and say, what do you mean? They didn't talk to you? Not really. We discussed tinnitus in my ears, which I still have to this day. And as the doctor told me at St. Albans Naval Hospital, it's like living by an airport, you have to get used to it. At this point in my life, I guess I'm used to it. It's there, it doesn't go anywhere, I have accepted it. For information purposes, 54,000 people died in Vietnam. 20 to 30% of those were from TBI. You're looking at 30 to 35,000 veterans that were killed in Vietnam. And I'm not taking anything away from our current warriors, male and female. But the signature wound of Iraq and Afghanistan, well, it's been done before. I believe TBI is a signature wound of most wars. So, me and the VA are not friends. I consider the Veterans Administration. Is anyone here from the Veterans Administration?
Wait, Bob, should we go off the record here?
I consider them my adversaries. I believe that the veterans, when the VA starts becoming the veterans advocate instead of the Veterans Administration, we'll have better treatment for veterans. And hold their families also, because most veterans do come with families. And the families get very confused. They suffer because of drug addiction called self-medication. 4 years into the New York City Police Department, I went to a doctor. I couldn't sleep. He prescribed Valium for me. Needless to say, in about a month, I was addicted to Valium. You really can't do that and be a cop, you know? It just doesn't really work like that. It was hard to get off the Valium and get my head together. And I stayed that way for about 5 years. And I started drinking. Now, I know today that the worst thing a person with a traumatic brain injury can do is drink. We're killing brain cells, and if you have a traumatic brain injury, you're really trying to make brain cells, you're trying to get better, there's an injury to your brain. Needless to say, I had a problem with alcohol, and I got off that. TBI. I wanted to be able to help the veterans down here. I can't find them. The first meeting we had at Easter Seals, we had a room such as this. And everyone were practitioners, no veterans. I was the only veteran there with TBI. What the practitioners told me is good luck in getting these people to come out to participate in any kind of self-help program. We look at peach trees. We know peach trees has a 25-person waiting list. And that's the only facility, to my knowledge, in Sussex County that helps people with traumatic brain injuries. And you say, well, it's traumatic brain injuries. 1 million people in America a year suffer or are exposed to traumatic brain injuries. 1 million. Out of that, maybe a 250,000 wind up with a very severe case of traumatic brain injuries. Where are they? Traumatic brain injury is silent. You know, you don't even put it together a lot of times. Recently, last 4 or 5 years, I became dyslexic. And I finally went and spoke to a doctor about it. He said, Bob, it's probably because of your brain injury. Now, there again, do you really want to accept that? As you get older, it's getting worse. But I guess I kind of knew that. I went to a seminar given by the Delaware Veterans Home, and it was on taking care of older people, like me. And we started discussing Alzheimer's disease. And lo and behold, we find that Alzheimer's disease is accelerated by TBI. So now, if all these kids have TBI, and when I say kids, I'm talking about the younger generation of veterans, where are we going with Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever you want to call it? I forget sometimes. But you know,
most people don't realize that even a minor concussion can, I mean, it is a traumatic brain injury, it's just the lower end of a traumatic brain injury, yep, and can result in a lot of problems later on.
Yeah. So, the government currently is spending, I believe in the last 3 years, close to $60 million for veterans care, and I don't really see it. I'm going to tell you a story. When all this started, I said, oh, good. Now, let me go talk to a doctor at the VA. And I was referred down to Richmond, Virginia, Polytrauma Center for TBI and other wounds, which I have. And I went in there, and the doctor said to me, why are you here? I said, well, I'm looking for some kind of help. Maybe you can help me. He said, how do you want me to help you? And it struck me as odd that I was going to a doctor and she was asking me what I wanted her to do for me. I also became involved in this. I have a young son. Young, he's 19. He wound up with a tumor when he was a young baby, about 3 years old. And it caused him to have a seizure, folks, which simply just breaks my heart. And I understand all the, I guess, the terminology about it, but I want to be able to do something more for people than maybe just discuss things. I don't know where this is going. All I know is that somebody put me here doing this. You know, as veterans, you find we're very coarse, but as veterans, we're very caring. We care about the community. We care about this country. And sometimes I'm at loss for words. My wife told me that's very rare, but it's just what you guys are doing. You know, it seems like our government should say, what do you need? What can I do to help you? What do you, you know, and it doesn't go that way. It's almost like we're lying to them. You know, I had a doctor once tell me, how do you know you have a seizure? I said, well, because my tongue is bit in the morning, my mouth's all chewed up, I feel like crap. Well, I had a seizure. And my wife told me I had a seizure. So where do we go from here? The wars, as always, have brought certain things fast forward. And TBI is one of them. It has accelerated research with Alzheimer's disease and dementia. We're looking at it more carefully. We also know that people 70 to 80 suffer a large degree of TBI. Of course, we fall down. And I don't see any kind of preventive measures or discussions about falls, just that I might not be looking in the right place. But if that's the cause of it, then we really should be discussing it. You know, and I'm sure it's out there. Driving, I mean, come on, you know, there's going to come a time when we as senior citizens really shouldn't be driving cars. And we have to accept that. But if we don't drive cars, how do we get where we need to go? So, of course, that brings up transportation as another issue. There's just things that I feel that if we keep working on this, we'll get to where we have to go. I see a lot of young people in this room, and that's good, because you're going to carry a message to your peers, to other young people, and you'll be able to talk about, you know, Bob Corsett, that old Marine veteran, with, you know, but this is what I do for a living. I'm not looking at anybody to pay me. I just want to take care of the other people. If I can, if I'm chosen to do that. I'm involved in a lot of new organizations. The Redmen are great supporters of Alzheimer's research. I just hope that the current veteran does not go through what the Vietnam veteran went through when it comes to medical care. And it's scary because I see, and it seems to be the same thing. Same kind of attitude, same kind of, on both parts, on the VA side or the government's part, and on the veterans' part. They want nothing to do with, they don't want to talk about this. Until it's too late. Questions, please. Yes, ma'am.
Just a statement. One of the statistics most people don't know about the Vietnam War is we lost 54,000. Between the end of the war and 1990, 75,000 committed suicide after Vietnam War veterans committed suicide. So we lost more to suicide after the war than we did during the war.
And we're seeing the same thing happening today with veterans and suicide. Questions, please.
Well, what about groups like the Wounded Warrior? I've always wondered what the wounded groups that, you know, as a nonprofit person, I always knew we could do more rather than, you know, being.
How much money did you get paid?
Oh, I get zero.
The.
You mean for this?
The Corporation of the Wounded Warriors. Yeah. What you doing?
Right, zero.
He's making over $300,000 a year. And that is throwing a big wrench into all this wounded warrior stuff. Because all the veterans organizations, I shouldn't say all, a lot of the veterans organizations, they don't get paid. And when you start saying, well, we're collecting money and 300 whatever, or 200 whatever, even 100 whatever, goes to pay a salary, it doesn't compute with me. I don't believe it's right.
What organization would you say that if people are going to contribute?
Keep it locally, Home of the Brave, Delaware Veterans Home, Easter Seals. See, I am a veterans advocate, but I'm going to say this. There's a lot of good going on. You know, we have to support other than just the veterans. You know, their families are involved, their community services, what you guys are doing. You know, you're forming it's a forum on things that we need to talk about.
Well, I know when I was working
Fort Peg at East of Seals.
Okay.
I was always hoping that the peach tree, for instance, okay, there's no, I mean, yeah, you can call and you can get a waiting list and maybe you can get some information, but we really don't have a place, it didn't seem to me that there was enough information out there. If you did make the call, if you had a brain injury or you had a child with brain injury or your husband or, I mean, I have, like, somebody, I also cheer a group where I have a daycare center. I have a feeling that one of my staff fell and has brain injury.
Okay.
How do I have the, I need to have the conversation with her about that, and I don't know how to do it, and I pursue things like that.
Don't we have laws? We have these laws now.
Yeah.
We can't even talk about it. Right. I spoke to someone at the Veterans Administration. I said, can you tell me how many veterans approximately, you know, are being seen for traumatic brain injury? He said, over 500. I said, over 500? Where are they? I can't tell you.
In the whole state? In the whole state of Delaware?
Well, the catchment area is part of New Jersey also.
That's
according to the VA, there's 90 veterans with TBI in Delaware.
That's crazy.
I think that's very low.
Administration, advocacy, adversary. And I really don't like knocking them.
I know.
But, you know, it's got to be a better way. We have claims backed up to God knows where. If they ran Social Security like that, they would have closed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just goes on and on and on. Yes?
Just because I, you know, it's a very complex system, the VA. And as a social worker, I always just yield to the experts because it's just changes all the time, it splinters off, and it's very difficult. So I have found someone that I do go to when I have questions, and she's the local VSO officer down here, Lori. I love her dearly. She's been very helpful to me in helping families.
I love her too. She's my wife.
No way! Oh my God, you're going to do
something.
Okay. Well,
so veterans are really my only benefit.
She loves you too. So
and I recommend Lori.
Could we put that in the minutes? What's her name?
Her married name.
Lori Corsa.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she is at the Veterans Center. That's by the Burger King.
Okay, in Georgetown.
Friday and Monday and Friday, mm-hmm. and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, she's at the Veterans Cemetery.
And she is.
Thank you.
If you haven't spent time with her, she knows inside and out.
Yes, she does.
History, present, future for veteran care. And so that's, as a social worker, I was called Lori.
Do you know the number? Can we have the number?
I don't have her card with me.
Oh, okay.
And I have one card, and it's all beat up and ratty, and it's precious to me. I don't give that. Do you
know the number?
No, I don't.
I will get it to the committee. I'll get it to the council.
All right, cool.
It's on my cell phone.
It really shouldn't have, you know, that's one of the biggest problems we have, in maybe everywhere, but in Sussex County specifically. You know, we have people that, Ruth Biderman, okay, I constantly am giving her number, poor Ruth, yeah. for people who want information on the Medicare stuff, because she gives it to them in a way that they can understand it, and no offense to elder info, but it just doesn't seem to be that way. I worked with a couple of people through the VA, and they kept calling me to do stuff for their patients, with participants, because we don't do that. We can't make home visits.
It's
we can't leave the office.
It's
we,
complex.
You know, it's 4:30. I can't help you anymore, or they won't even answer the phone. I mean, so it comes down to the individual. I think that's what one of the things you're saying is that everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to try to be as informative as possible, help as much as possible, give information out. But then, we, you know, when these people retire or die, the information goes with them. And we hope that the next generation of social workers, helping professionals, are going to have that kind of interest and drive. I mean, you call Jamie, you're going to get all kinds of information above and beyond what you can call him for. But Jamie's going to retire someday, right, Jamie?
No. I'm going to drop dead.
Bob, can I ask a question? I guess my question was, because I've never asked Lori this actually, but if there's a veteran who has been diagnosed with TBI, are they service connected because of a TBI?
It depends on how it came about.
Exactly, got it. Okay.
Okay.
And what would the service connection be, or does it depend on what the actual...
It depends whether, number one, if he was in the military when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
If he was in the military, pretty much it's service connected.
Mm-hmm.
But then each case is different.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
You know?
All right, that would be my, Lori, would be my go-to on that.
Okay.
Okay, got it. Okay. I wanted to offer this too, Bob, because you brought up, you know, the concerns, and I'm learning about things every day, but for example, Thursday night, I'm hoping to learn more. Apparently, there's a Sussex Senior Transportation Cooperative. Have you heard about that?
Is that Nancy Feibel's?
Yes.
Well, Nancy has been
amazing.
Ill. I was going to have her come and speak to us about it, but she has spoken to me and Dennis and even Dr. Freed from, or Mr. Freed from Levy,
mm-hmm.
mentioned
mm-hmm.
her name and this cooperative.
Yep.
It's in Lewis area, Lewis Rehoboth area, where everything seems to be for some reason. And people can join the co-op. And
it's
you,
like
for instance,
$500 or $600.
Yeah, it's. We'll find out what the.
Mm-hmm. This is the
but
this
you one. You
yes.
do that, and then like a person like myself, I'm still driving. So I can take people places, and I bank the hours that I'm doing and helping others. When it's my turn to not drive, I can tap into that.
Cool.
That kind of thing.
Well, she'll be there Thursday night. Just ideas like that that are coming around.
Yeah.
But those are people getting creative, I guess, and trying to address those gaps of service.
They have that same service upstate called for volunteers to us, and we can't do anything that anybody pays for services.
Oh.
So we are reevaluating that because when you look at some of the other things we're involved with, like the cheer centers, there's a fee.
Mm-hmm.
Senior center, there's a fee. So we're trying to get around that, but right up front, there's a fee to join that for those services.
Now, like we as a senior center, if you're disabled, or because we receive grant aid, if you're disabled or you're a senior in our Lewis, Milton, Rehoboth area, for Lewis Senior Center, we suggest that you're a member. We encourage you to be a member. But if you're going to the doctor and you need a ride, we will get you there. We ask for a fuel donation of a $5 donation for round trip. If you don't have it, we still get you there if it's a doctor's appointment. I'm not going to take you to get your hair done, and I'm not going to take your dog to the vet, but I will get you to your doctor appointment. And that's standing for Cape Henlopen as well. And I talked to Nancy about that when she came to
ask you.
Very briefly.
Right. Awesome.
But that's something that, like, because we receive money then back from DART to do these things. It's kind of like we help DART out.
See how it works?
But you do, a lot of people don't know that because even seniors that come in will say, when you go to the eye center and you get your drops in your eyes for the cataracts, we will take you. We will get you home. Oh, no, I want my daughter. Because it's still that independence thing. It's still that conversation we need to have.
Yeah.
And but senior centers, Ms. Vitamin, does Milford do that too? I mean,
no, they don't. I'm just making a note about that.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
we
have to
I'm
log
surprised.
Our miles, and we log like say we had 10 rides and we had $50.
Yeah.
We have to report that to DART.
Uh-huh.
So everything's very transparent. And then what DART kind of gives back to us is like a stipend to kind of supplement what we use.
Now, we take people to the doctor,
I'm sorry.
But only on a...
Yeah, it's a part of it.
Yeah.
But it's through DART. But, I mean, because
got
we're
it.
Grant aid, we take disabled as well.
Okay.
And the buses that you see, the 16-passenger, very much like DART buses, they have the lift, so we can accommodate disabled individuals. They usually have their own network through paratransit, but I know paratransit is getting ready to get a huge cut. I don't know what DART's going to give me in 2015, but right now we have that minivan. It's on the road 9 to 3 every day, taking people to doctor's appointments.
Yeah, well, we do it with our own bus.
You try to saturate the doctors, but I tell you, I will go into a family practice, and you go back in 3 months later, and it's a different set of gals on the phone. This is the information that doctors and nurses care about. I mean, you know, these are people that are, you know, have their book in front of them, and it's the next person, and you can send them another flyer, and you can, but all you can do is just keep saturating. You know, it's not like we're trying to help the situation along. We're trying to get the people where they need to get to. And then we have volunteer drivers. If my van's taken up and Linda needs a ride and my van's over here, we'll call a volunteer person, you know, that's one of our members that's agreed to volunteer, and then they go pick them up in their car and that kind of thing. So senior citizens do this. Senior centers, Kate and Lewis do that for the eastern part of Sussex. And yeah. Wow.
I have a question. Do you have to remain in Sussex County, I'm assuming?
Yes, we do. Now, we have a lot of people that will contact us and say, we need a ride to Christiana.
Okay.
So then what I'll do is I'll call one of my volunteer drivers, because of my insurance for my vehicles, I'll call one of my volunteer drivers, usually a member, and I say, hey, some lady needs to get up to the AI DuPont, they do the I thing, and we can make arrangements, and then I leave it to them, they'll report back to me the miles, and I pay the driver, the volunteer driver, 50 cents a mile to take that person to Christiana. And I will say to my person that needs a ride, if you can make a contribution to the senior center for the fuel, I'm okay with that. You know, because I can't go in the hole, but...
So this is coming out of the senior center.
Mm-hmm. And I know Kate Penlofer does the same.
Is it only your members, or would it be...
Well, what we do is we kind of encourage, like, if you call me, you know, I'll say, you know, I will get you to a doctor's appointment. And then we'll give them the membership information. It's $20 a year to be a member. But my staff knows if you need to get to a doctor appointment. Because I have people, I'm calling from Colorado, and my mom needs a doctor's appointment, and Dart's not, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, we can get her to the doctor appointment. Now, there are people that abuse the situation. So you have to say, after they, you know, after the third or fourth ride, I want to make sure you get to where you need to get to, but you need to, like, think about, you know, becoming a member, or you need to think about, you know, giving $5 for fuel, you know, something like that, because there are people that just, you know, that kind of take advantage of. I mean, there's, you know, that's just the way our society is. So, you know, I kind of put the rule down at, you know, at first, but I think that's our heart. And again, we get reimbursed from DART for that. I mean, it's something that we do, and then we are able to do it because of the state.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. And the reason I asked the question is I work for Delaware Hospice, and that my job is to visit all the physicians.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great information, because when I'm doing my lunches and talking about us, transportation comes up. The dialysis clinics, that comes up all the time, the situation they have with people so sick coming there for their treatment, and then they may be on a bus or waiting for a bus for like 4 hours of their day, you know, so that's why I'm asking so many questions about it, because it's good information.
I just talked to Fran is the director of the CHEA Center in Georgetown, mm-hmm. and she says CHEA does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And so does Bridgeville does. We've done that for years.
And you have to be a member,
you know. So then you take them to their doctor's appointments, and that way you're able to connect with the senior.
Yes.
Know what their needs are.
Yes. So they're not so isolated.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you make sure that they're following up with their care plans.
Is anything happening in Millsboro?
I don't know about Millsboro. I mean, I have volunteers in Millsboro who come to Georgetown to take the seniors to doctor's appointments.
Okay.
That's
Mike still takes people up to the vets, so if you're a veteran, you can go through the Home of the Brave.
Well, one of the problems with that is the transportation coming out of Sussex County. Now, the Home of the Brave is, if you can get there, I mean, it's pretty much up in Milford. So what I've been doing with the VA is I've been arguing for better transportation. And I use the Cambridge clinic as an example. They have two buses there in the morning, 8 o'clock. The veterans get on, they're taken over to Baltimore and brought back. And these are government buses. Now I'm going to tell you, and it's no cost to the veteran. In our state, Delaware, we can't get transportation down to Sussex County. Although Wilmington does provide transportation over to New Jersey for the veterans.
Gun Post 28 type.
So if they have a driver, if they're available, you know, it's not like they're there every day. You know, you have to call ahead and make an appointment and so on and so forth. DAV is also, but they're not, it's, in other words, let's say you're sick. You wake up in the morning, you're sick, you say, I should go up to the VA and see a doctor. Okay. If you knew there was a bus outside, you might make arrangements to get to the bus coming up 113. Get on the bus and go up to, and come back. You can't do that with the Legion. Most times they're full. Most times they don't have a driver available. You know, it's hit and miss, to say the least. They do a great job when they're doing it, but it's just the logistics involved in it, of getting the veterans on the buses. You know, we have had people left up in the VA.
Now, how about the Rage? Do they have a regular schedule?
They have yes and no. See, because he's gone around picking people up also. We're talking about 15 veterans at the Home of the Brave, which they're pretty well cared for.
They are.
In fact, the VA, in their infinite wisdom, has this huge trailer that visits down there once a week, and they're cared for medically.
Bob, can a veteran use their VA benefits, medical benefits, at all these walk-in clinics we have now?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yes. And the Vet Center is for combat veterans dealing with PTSD or other issues, including their family members.
The Vet Center in Georgetown.
The Vet Center in Georgetown, yes.
That's that one.
Burger King.
Burger King.
Yes. That, yeah. Down here, yes.
Okay, any other questions? Bob?
I just wanted to ask you, what about the outpatient VA counseling group? Have you been in to talk with John Smith? And
I am working with John. I'm working with Phil. I'm working with John. We're trying to put something together. We're meeting
a lot of young people coming in with families and just really integrating, and I bet that you may get them to help diagnose. I'm just thinking about the diagnosis of where are these veterans. Maybe the therapist could help with that.
Yeah, and that's what they do. I mean, that's right. You know, that's why they're there. And
I mean, but to hear you kind of breathe life into this too would be really good for them. Well, I'm sure you have, so that's great. I was just
I'm wondering. You know, I've been there, done that. I've done it all. I've been through the counseling. I've been, you know. And I would rather them experience it in a learning mode than an actual down in the dirt mode. You know, it's, what else? That's about it. Third Wednesdays, American Legion Post. Number 8 in Georgetown, 1 o'clock, we're having TBI group meeting. And it's going to, we had a bunch of practitioners show up.
Well, you know, with support groups, that's how I've always been disappointed when I start support groups. They start really, really slowly. And it's, you know, it's just word of mouth, particularly the people that don't want to admit the fact that they have a TBI.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
Yes, ma'am. Anybody else?
Could you say that date again?
It's the third Wednesday,
of the month. Okay.
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Gotcha.
And I didn't say it enough when I was, I wasn't in the Vietnam War, but I was one of those college students, a young teacher,
And I want to tell you, Bob, thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
We missed the boat on that one when you guys came home.
That's okay. Let's take care of the troops.
Right.
You know, we have to remember, when was the last time anybody has been to support the troops rally? We're still at war. It's still over there. What happened to support the troops? I will leave you. I will sit down and
thank
shut
you
up.
Very much.
There's literature here if you...
Okay. I was wondering, I thought that was the empty... I was waiting for the cheer routine. Maybe you were going to do some role playing or something.
No.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, yes.
Okay, now Jamie, you had something you want to announce, right? Before I forget? I know what you wanted to do. Okay. All right, new business.
Never mind. I can make an announcement.
Okay.
The spending bill that Obama just signed into law appropriated $122 million for Alzheimer's research.
Wow.
Much needed.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Now, the next item on our agenda is strategic plan. Now, we're going to make this brief, right?
Yes.
And we're going to... We're already living the plan, actually, because we've already started to plan for our new, our next LIV conference. And I'll talk about that. Well, actually, think I should do that first, real quick?
You want to?
Yeah, because I have to approve the minutes. We had a small planning group meeting on December 10th. And it was small, I think, because the weather was so bad. That was surprising that anybody showed up, because I even thought about not going, and I had no choice. And we had a nice group. I could find the minutes to it. And, well, we all agreed. We went through all the evaluations, and which were excellent. And we are, okay, where are my December 10th minutes here? There you go, okay. And everybody, I guess we had, how many were, 122 evaluations or some?
It was a little bit more than that. I remember 135.
Yeah.
Not many more.
Except one person said they wouldn't come to another LIV conference.
There was only one person that said that.
I don't know who that was, but anyway.
It wasn't me.
Anyway, so we agreed. The thing we all talked about was how inadequate the venue was, because we had to turn people away, and we also had to stop taking vendor spaces and registrants and so forth. And we had about 256 people. So we decided to look for a different venue. I'm just going to mention that. And, we said, who was it?
It was us.
Yeah, you guys, right. Mm-hmm. Linda and Amber. We're going to start looking, researching the venue. The parking was inadequate. We want to make sure the parking was enough. And there's a lot of little nitty-gritty things, which I won't go into at this moment. We have another meeting coming. But one of the themes that we talked a lot about, we had a woman who came to this meeting first time. Her name is Dawn Culp. She's a forensic nurse at Bay Health. And all of us were thinking about, okay, where do we go from here? We did the live healthy, live active, live at home. How can we tie in something else? And we came up with live safe and secure. The live conference, number two, safe and secure. And we would then go into all the things about avoiding falls, making it more preventative, about how to keep your money and property and so forth secure. And the safe, there's a lot of home invasions and, you know, all about security and safety, pretty much. That's as far as we got. Were you there?
Mm-hmm.
You were there too, right? Am I getting that right?
I
was okay. You're right there. I'll tell you. Anyway, so we're going to have our next meeting, which is February 11th, 9:30 to 11:30. And that's at this complex. We have a room, right, sir?
Yes.
Okay, is this the room?
The conference room downstairs.
Okay, this is a very nice room. You like this room better than the other room downstairs? Or it doesn't matter? Well, anyway, whichever.
Okay. You all seem to fit a lot better in this room.
What's that?
You all seem to fit a lot better in this room.
We do. And I like this the fact that, you know, you're not sitting on those tables. It's
you
just
can see
it.
You can see us. I mean, you got
yeah, it would be yeah. nice if we could.
Try to get this room?
Yeah.
Okay, this room instead? I'll see if they have it.
And that's 9:30 to 11:30, and then we can really start to. Now, Dawn was in charge of publicity. We did get some people going here. Publicity, Dawn Culp, and the venue, we just used the other two ladies to have the research on that. That was it. The October. We were thinking about doing it again in October because it's after the summer. The weather's usually pretty good. I think there's a lot of, we just think there's a lot of stuff going on in September because people said, well, you know, they didn't want to do it over the summer. So we thought we'd come up with October again. You think we should just talk a little bit about the venue, maybe? How you guys are doing?
Well, that's one question they all asked me, what Pacific date?
Because we had talked about maybe doing it, if we were going to use a school as a venue, perhaps on Columbus Day, which is a Monday,
right.
Schools are typically closed on that day. But because of the snow and the closures and the holidays, Linda's not been able to really make good contact yet with any of the schools as far as availability and their AV, you know,
right.
availability and all of that. I have talked with both Del Tech, and Heritage Shores. I've been working with Del Tech on another event, and I find that they can be expensive and a little bit difficult to deal with. And I hate to say that about Del Tech, but it's true.
Well, there's some former people I used to work there and be involved with them, so that, you know.
The other, Heritage Shores, and Linda had said she had reached out to Heritage Shores about another event and didn't know that they would have the capacity. The woman there that I've been working with, her name is Stephanie, she's phenomenal. She's actually the opposite end of the spectrum and extremely easy to work with. She sent me sample menus at really low pricing that they can do round tables, sort of how we had it set up at Cheer, where we could put 8 to 10 people to a table. Now, if you put 10 people to a table, it's obviously going to be much tighter than if you put 8 people, but it would allow us to really accommodate 400 that we're,
really?
That we're looking
to sure
accommodate.
That?
The only thing is that, I didn't bring my notes, but the exhibitor spaces could become an issue if we want everybody in the same room. We could set up the exhibitor spaces around the perimeter of the room and have the round tables in the center, but it obviously is going to reduce the amount of round tables that we can have in the center if the vendors are around the perimeter. So she suggested if we absolutely wanted the exhibitors in the same room, then we would have to cut back on capacity. The other option is that if you've been to Heritage Shores, when you walk in, there's the main lobby area. To the left is the large ballroom, which is where the event would take place. They have the stage there so that people would be elevated. They have multiple screen options so that you can have screens in multiple locations. If you go and you go to the right, there's what are called card rooms, and they're smaller. It's smaller than the ballroom, but the two rooms down there would be large enough for all of the exhibitors. So,
well, how much?
I didn't bring it with me.
Okay.
But I found it so far because I'm looking to plan a number. I volunteered to do this because I'm researching venues for a couple other events that I'm volunteering on. And what I have found is that Heritage Shores, they have great parking. They have plenty of parking. They have a portico that the vendors could pull up and unload underneath so they can be protected from weather. There's a separate vendor entrance, so the vendors wouldn't have to go through the main entrance. There's actually a side door where they could go directly into the ballroom space. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make the next conference meeting. So what I intend to do, Linda had started a spreadsheet. I'm going to compile all of the information on that spreadsheet.
Great.
And then I have a conflicting meeting, so I may be able to maybe call in or something if there are questions at that meeting. But
I appreciate you.
So far, it's in Bridgeville. I don't know if that causes concern to anybody because it's not central.
Linda.
Just have you looked into Independence in Millsboro, which is the same kind of complex?
We need 350. I think that only takes 100 or something, or 200.
Yeah, we want to get up to 300.
I mean, they're pretty big.
I thought they did more than that.
Mary Ann and I asked about that for our recognition.
You talked to them? I mean, because that's a wonderful venue. It's a great location.
Well, and I think there is something appealing at having it in a neighborhood like that, because you draw, I mean, they have hundreds of homes in there for 55 and over. So you're drawing right there a ton of attendees, the type of people that you want to attend.
We want to stay in an area where we can hopefully get people, so we were going to stay away from the beach. We talked about Cape and Lopin.
Right.
But
something more, like that's the benefit of the Cheer Center, is that it's smack dab in the center of the county. Same thing with what we have on our list is like Sussex Academy and Delmarva Christian High School.
They called
last
Friday night. I had a message on
that. Oh, really?
All right.
I did talk to Crossroads today, and they have always said no in the past, but today she asked me for more information. And they could accommodate.
How many? Mm-hmm. They have big?
It's big.
Oh, it's
large. Yeah. That's the one here, right here. Oh, good.
But the schools, I was out half a day Friday, so some of them have returned the information.
Well, thank you.
So I think we'll have all the information that the committee needs to kind of move forward on making that decision.
Yeah.
But we were checking into the Hyatt, and you said no to the beach.
That's up to we can discuss that if we thought. Just seems like everything happened at the beach, and then you don't get. I mean, it's a long walk to get people from.
This part of Sussex County needs to really be more represented.
Yeah.
Well, I know we wanted it more central, but do we have a list of the attendees where they were from before?
No, that did not.
Because they all
registered. Unless it was on the registration.
Most of them registered through the internet. Yeah,
I
have their.
I didn't know if they
were people
list.
From over there, from Bridgeville and Greenwood. And I was surprised. The people I spoke to on the telephone, because I took Sue and I took mostly the call-ins.
How
does the council feel on me helping narrow your decision down about whether you want the exhibitors who actually are a part of the venue in the space, or that may make a difference in narrowing things down?
Because that's what I was going to say, sort of related to that I didn't mention, is that Stephanie at Heritage Shores said you could put the vendors in instead of get rid of the round tables and do it more of rows. Chairs, but then you lose people to be able to sit there and have a place to put their things, to jot down notes, to eat their lunch,
I think that, Liz says the committee here, what they think, most of you came to the event, so you can kind of keep that as a frame of reference, but...
I know we had something a long time ago at Del Tech, and we had vendors down the hall and in another room, and I had vendors very upset because nobody came near them.
I'll tell you what we should do. I think that should be the...
If you're charging
when we
for
look
them.
At the when you yeah. give us the venues, like I think that should be something we could consider. We found a terrific venue where we can have them in, and you may have to make that sacrifice.
Right, and I'll tell you that my vote really is to Heritage Shores right now, based on what information we have so far. I would be more inclined to reduce capacity and maybe only have 250 to 300 and have the vendors in the room than have 350 to 400 and have the vendors down the hall.
Right.
I agree to that. I agree
too.
We have
less vendors.
Yeah, she's excellent, and she's prompt and responds, and she's given me suggestions.
Yeah.
I told her that we weren't looking to spend a lot of money, so she put together proposed menus that are very, very reasonable. Like, I want to say, like, $8 and or something extremely reasonable. They and it wouldn't be buffet style like it was last year. They serve the plated meal to the table, which I think is something that we really needed last year, because I think that left people frustrated.
Yeah, that was
the only thing that I heard
was the waiting in line. That was one of the biggest things on the evaluation. We talked about having like a box lunch this time and having it delivered to the tables.
They do that at Jim and Dan's all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it's lunch. It's not dinner. You know, you don't need a meat and a potato and a vegetable and a salad and a dessert.
Well,
it's.
I think Crossroads sounds interesting, too, so it'll be nice to see what they have to say, too. I'll go with you guys. I mean, what we can do is have, based on what we talk about on the 11th, that we're living. We can then decide.
But we,
you know,
did decide it had to be during the week.
Right, right.
So oh, yeah.
One of the schools said that, so I know they're out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right.
And we can go have our meeting. The next meeting we can have at that venue.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not, I don't think we're ready to do that yet.
Yeah, I think the February 11th meeting will hopefully be a time where the committee can make a decision on the venue, and then we can move forward with reserving the space. Because I've just been asking the people I've talked to, I've just kind of said, I'm not the decision maker. I'm just doing the research, kind of just pencil us
right.
in, and
yeah.
we'll follow
yeah.
up. So that'll be the next step once the decision is made
right.
and getting the contract signed. And
now,
so what date did you get? You said pencil in, so did you?
I did. It was the week of October,
that
Columbus week,
Day?
But I don't remember off the top of my
yeah.
head what day.
Columbus Day isn't a, I mean, is that like, is that a federal holiday? Like if our professionals?
It's no longer a state holiday.
No, it's not a
state
holiday. Okay, because we don't want to lose
different.
That group.
It's a holiday for me.
Are you looking at keeping the pricing the same, or will that be dependent on the venue and what they're charging?
Right,
from?
We'll do that, and how much I can, because last time I had a little bit more money, I think. Although, I think we have about $1,000 left in the kitties, but I haven't approached other people for the spot. And then Phil Love gave us $2,500. And then, you know, how the vendors we charged for the vendors. So, I mean, we did for our first effort. Now, let me ask this, because the committee has to decide. First of all, they had four committee members there, so we didn't have a quorum at that meeting. So I guess I should put it to the committee now. A, are we going to do another LIV conference?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Do I have to ask anybody's opposed if I see everybody was aye?
Yeah. Well, it's just a consensus. It would just be a consensus. You don't have to have a motion.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And do we, October, do you think that's a good time?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, October. And, okay, so those are the two big things that we needed to decide. And I need a motion to accept the minutes as written, and it was a very brief. Because there's a lot going on, and I tried to. It's very hard to lead the meeting and take notes. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of it was. So next time we have a meeting, I hope somebody takes the minutes on the other end. Start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to take minutes. Anyway, okay. All right. Next on the agenda.
Sorry.
Oh,
I do need a motion to approve the minutes.
Oh, we need a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion.
Okay, Jamie, second.
Second.
Okay. That's it. I don't have to say the other thing. Okay. After 2.5 years of doing this, you think I have it down pat, right?
Slice to talk about.
Okay.
I have another meeting I have to go to.
No.
I need to know where the next meeting is.
The February
11th
meeting is right here.
Okay. Is that for the
that's for the conference.
Okay.
The planning.
An hour meeting.
Right. Now, this meeting is in March, and that's at
Lewis
Senior Center. Dennis Liebel is the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis, and then the Senior Center in Lewis, I found a little bit difficult to get to. So I'm not going to give directions because that's
nothing hard about
hopefully
it.
People
can
The address of that establishment is, whoops, the Lewis Senior Center is at 32083 Janice Road, and I don't know the zip. Lewis?
58.
Yeah. 19958. Right? 19958.
Yes.
And it's March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
We're green.
You can wear your jacket, Bob. Okay. Now, here's the thing. I want to do, we have to do a little bit of the planning stuff, all right? But I also I don't want to miss anybody in the audience, so I hope you guys can stick around a little bit longer, because I want to do public comments. Okay? Yeah.
Okay. Several months ago, the group, including the audience, worked together to develop three goals for the committee for this year. The first of which was expand the advocacy role of the committee, The second was increase and improve communications between the committee and the Sussex County Council. And the third was increase public awareness of the committee and thereby improve public attendance of meetings. And what we need at this point is some objectives or activity steps to go with each of these goals. So with the first being expand the advocacy role of the committee, does anyone have any thoughts or ideas about the objectives or the activity steps for that and how we may achieve that goal? I mean, I think one of it is through the conference itself.
One of the things that I've always thought, and I shouldn't be saying this because I've always thought it would be a great thing if we could do at least a monthly article on some topic, advocacy kind of topic, and have it published. The problem with that is that, you know, it would be great if I could say, okay, we have 11 people for this 12 mm-hmm. months. Mm-hmm. Each member has a responsibility to write an article, and then it has to come to me, and then I have to give it to Chip Guy, make sure it's totally appropriate, and we use all the right names.
What types of things do you want the article about?
Well,
anything specific
not just about the committee. The plug would be about the committee at the end, and when we meet and so forth. But it would be, for instance, right now, we could do acquired traumatic brain injury, a follow-up to that, or we could have done the article about it. See, Anna does a press release when we have a speaker, but that's not a big, it's a
small little thing.
Mm-hmm. What if you had the speakers write an article about the topic that they spoke on?
It's hard enough to get speakers. I hope it's going to say. I'm not sure I could get
them. How hard would it be to get a reporter here when we have a speaker?
That would be great.
Because if you do a press release before the speaker, that's a little blurb, and then you could follow it up with, at the meeting on January 27th, Bob was here and he spoke about blah, 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 blah. Join us for our next meeting.
Yeah.
On March
17th. Yeah, because there is a whole, we could write an article right now.
We could get Bob up there and somebody could take their cell phone and take a picture and then we can email the picture with the writer.
Yeah. You mean right now?
Right now.
That would be our first article? Well, first of all,
right.
Do we think that's a good way? We don't mean monthly, so it'd be every other month.
Quarterly? You want to start off quarterly? We do it every other month?
Well,
six a year.
We do every other month now. So we could do every other month. I mean, and then if you want to go forward to once a month, how can I say this? I'm an okay writer, but I'm not a great writer, and I just can't commit to writing an article once a month. Even the fact that you have to do your press release once a month, I think sometimes that gets probably a lot to do.
Are you saying once a month or once every other month?
I mean, every other month. I think every other month based on so next month it would be, the March one would be
an article
on Parkinson's and Parkinson's support.
I do an article for the Senior Center every month. I'll be glad to start off working with it. And
great.
See.
Would you like to start off working with this? Okay.
Sure.
All right. Who can take a picture?
I don't. I don't have anything.
Did you take a picture before?
I got the old one.
Cool. Okay, Bob. Back up there. Now I'm getting into the nitty gritty, right?
Papers would welcome the content. I really believe that they would just welcome the county in. I think they need some content. The Post, the Star.
And I think, too, if you have a meeting, we have this meeting in January, and set it for 30 days later,
right.
That gives you a follow-up to a meeting and plugs you for 30
the
days of
meeting.
Meeting.
Yeah.
So
right.
You're doing
that's
something,
great,
I think if it's placed about 30 days post, then I think you're good.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Cool.
Very
lot.
Right.
So the next one is increase and improve communications between this committee and the Sussex County Council.
Susan, can you get your whip out?
Well, I will tell you, I don't know, should I put this in the minutes that the committee was very disappointed that we did not have any council people come, or is that going to annoy people to put that in there? We didn't have to come to our
conference.
Conference.
Really?
Nobody came.
You mean the minutes are available to the public?
Were they invited?
Sure. I mean, I went, how many times did I go to them?
I'm wondering, though, if maybe we need to, each of us, sort of do personal invitation to the individuals.
I think that's... All right,
from your district.
Sue,
yes.
How did you word that? Did you put that in what I said? That was disappointed that,
for this meeting, you mean?
Yeah.
Put that in there if you want.
So you didn't do it yet?
Not for today's meeting. Not for today.
What
you said before. Oh, we said it before?
No. I don't think it was in the November minutes.
No.
I don't believe.
So my question is, we're trying to increase the communication. If I put that in, that may not be such a good idea.
You could address that in the strategic plan, that the goal is to have...
Right.
The council
okay.
More involved.
Well, your strategic plan and say our goal would be to
that's
have.
Right.
So
good.
We invited them at any time to kind of speak. Like, you know, if we invited the members periodically to come and speak to the group and even to get the questions answered, you know, that we have and where they stand on it.
All right.
And they
here's
can come
the thing.
And
okay.
Be a part
so,
of it. All
right. Doesn't a council person handle, like, disability, is it?
No.
It's not broken down.
No.
Here it is.
This is it.
So they just, not us, them.
Right.
There's no one that has assigned disabilities and aging?
That's why we exist.
No, that's our mission is to, we're the arms of them.
Yeah, but who do we wrap our arms around? No, what I'm saying is,
I know.
Shouldn't it be somebody that we report to?
All right, here's the deal. We report to the county council. They get our minutes. I do go before them maybe every, a couple times a year.
Okay.
But, and then give them information and ask them for things, like to sponsor this, this group. But they did not participate. They did not come to the conference themselves. And here's what I'm thinking. We're all sitting here, all right? We have been appointed by each of those five council people. There's two of us from each councilmantic district. So I think rather than Sally Beaumont going to the council and saying, here, this is what we're doing, I think each one of us, there's two of us from Vance Phillips. I call Vance and say, Vance, I really would like you to come and speak about a particular topic. Or, Vance, it would mean a lot to us if you would come to the LIV conference. But we've never done that. When's the last time anybody spoke to, other than Scott, who is Mr. Phillips' brother?
No.
The other Phillips. When's the last time any of us have spoken to our councilman?
I don't even know who mine is.
I saw Sam Wilson at the mayor's prayer breakfast in Milford and had a conference.
And I think that they need to know what they missed because it was a great opportunity for them to come and mingle with 256 people and more, rather. Yes.
When are their meetings?
They meet every Tuesday, right?
Yes. Tuesday at 10.
I mean, maybe if we could strategically go to those meetings, like the first Tuesday, myself and Christine will go, and the next Tuesday, and introduce ourselves. Hey, if you're in their face, they can't ignore you.
And what are you going to say?
I'm sorry you missed the conference. We have another one coming up. Love to see you there.
As
or come to our meeting.
As a
person.
Constituent.
I'm on a subcommittee of this commission.
You benefit
As a member of the aging committee,
right.
We want to say thank you for your support.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
All.
Okay. Well, I mean, how do we, you have to write or call to get on the, you have to have a reason, right? Don't
there's
you?
A, there's an opportunity at the bottom of the agenda where it calls for any additional business. Anyone that wants to speak to council on a specific topic can sign their name at the back. There's a sheet, a sign-up sheet. I'm not sure what information. I think it's just name. I'm not sure. I don't think you, I'm not sure if you have to put topic or not, but there is a sign-up sheet that you can sign at the back of the room, and you will be called up under any additional business.
Okay, cool. Good. I think, Bob, you'd be great. You could go there one Tuesday and just...
That would not be a problem.
Yeah. It's not intended for a long presentation. It's only 2 or 3 minutes.
Yep.
Well, just to basically bring something to their attention.
I don't think anybody's ever done that from the non-committee people ever went there and said, we go to these committee meetings and we think there's value to them. Thank you for supporting that committee. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever said that.
I know Vance has said that were the committee meetings held in the afternoon of a council meeting day that he himself, who's not able to drive, would be more able to make it.
That's an idea. We've had this 10 o'clock meeting.
Well, you could pick her up from Brennan.
What was proposed?
Yeah, but it's 2 round trips to Laurel from Georgia.
He's your brother.
So. I can pick him up on my way.
The senior center can pick them up. They do.
Then you can take them.
All right. We digress. Vance Phillips is a councilman who is Scott.
The time, what was suggested?
Oh, well, Vance doesn't drive right now. He has a brain injury, I guess.
But if we changed our time, apparently.
Brain injury.
If the time was changed, it would be better.
Well, because he feels that, I guess he feels since they're there.
They're meeting on a Tuesday.
But don't they meet afterwards on
different
topics and stuff?
That might be difficult. They do have public hearings in the afternoon, some Tuesday, not every Tuesday, but some Tuesdays they do.
Right. All right, let's not get overwhelmed with the, we just need what? A couple of what we already said.
One or two things. So.
Right. That, how about that each committee member will make at least 2 contacts a year with their councilman, a woman. Don Deeb is pretty pissed off right now about this door barking thing, so I'm glad I'm not in her district. That's not the next. That just popped out of my Italian mouth. I'm sorry.
I asked my state representative, and he didn't know. Mm-hmm.
If you want to give me a call at the office, I can look it up on the computer. we're at the Lewis area?
No, I'm south of Wilson's Auction, north of Ellendale. I'm right off 113.
Hmm.
All right.
That's probably Sam Wilson's, but if you give me a call and give me your address, I can go right on the computer and give you the right information.
You have Sue Webb's email address. Just email your address. Okay. So
each committee member will issue at least 2 contacts per year to their council person.
That'll be
initiate.
Good.
That'll mean there's 2 or 3 of us on, and each they'll be getting 4 calls.
Right, and that's doable. I mean, an email contact too. And sometimes
email,
I don't know. Do they all read their emails, sir?
As far as I know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Except Sam, I don't think Sam does.
Yes, he does.
Oh, he does. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
the final goal is
increase public awareness of the committee and thereby improve public attendance of meetings. And now I know Chip Guy, the public information officer, has made many more attempts over this past year to really put us out there on TV, radio, and in all the newspapers. So I really think that he's done quite a bit.
He has. Now I'm surprised we didn't have more people here today, because it was on the radio, it was on the TV. Did you see it, Bob? I sent you the link.
Yeah, actually I did.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised.
Yeah. I know.
Publicity.
Yeah. So, but
has anyone ever attended the WGMD live remote at Verizon in Lewis?
No, I was. No.
That's a. We used to do it when it was at Brownsville Delaware Hospital. Mm-hmm. We used to go down and as a nonprofit, every 2 weeks we would get free airtime and talk about our different programs and things like that, different topics. And when they moved to Bridgeville, we kind of got away from it. So I guess about a month ago, Al and I stopped in just to see what was going on with it now. And they had people lined up just to pop in and say whatever's happening, if you have an event or any topic. So to bring awareness to this committee, here we are, here's what we do, and we would love for you to join us. It's free. It's from 9 to 12 every Wednesday, and they have a room filled with food, so you can eat lunch.
At the Verizon?
Verizon. Yeah. Alan Lehman is the sponsor of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Was there at Venus for a while? Oh, I know. The 105.5 was at Venus for a while.
Yeah.
And we went, you and I went to talk, and they were gone. I guess they stopped doing it.
Yeah, but this is a consistent venue, and we're actually going this Wednesday. We're going to start being on. We're going to start with once a month again, just to get back up there. That's our audience. That's your
actually that would be
that
good, like
the
week before we have our meeting. In other words,
Mondays at Arenas.
Oh, they do it
at the different locations. Like they're not always at the same Arenas. That's why they weren't there that day because they might have been at Milford or in Long Neck. They can keep moving.
All right.
Do you do anything with social media?
It's Twitter. They
Facebook.
Do social media. Chip Guy is into the social media, Twitter, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not. I don't know if any of us are. I call myself a Facebook voyeur. Just look at it. Don't participate in it much. But I like to see what's going on in other people's lives. But now I'm not a... Now it's secret's out. Mm-hmm. 4 months
You're going to get 100 friend requests.
Yeah. How about, do any events come out through the libraries have a listserv? We get events all the
all
time.
Right. Put that down. Ship to ask
the
ship guy
the,
about
the
that.
Library.
You know, how do we get, we would like to participate more in the social media. We can get into the more nitty gritty.
Real quick, I know Susan emails everybody. But I'm wondering if there's a way that she could flag the senior centers and like the senior living place and say, guys, could you put this in your newsletters? I never thought about till we had this conversation right now. I send a monthly newsletter out.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that all my seniors want to come, but I send it also to businesses and different people that have relationships with seniors. And I'm just thinking maybe just a little invite that said, can you put this in your newsletter? It would just be another
newsletter. Because we do say please post, because she sends the posting.
Yeah, we put it up on a bulletin
board,
and that's where it goes. But I'm just, you know, I have, you know, 1,000 people that read it every month, that I'm just thinking that might...
That's
I mean, I don't know, George, do you...
No.
We don't do a newsletter, we just do an internal one. But, you know, my marketing person would love that information to give to, you know, all the doctors and everyone.
Yeah, the email
blast. Exactly.
You have
her
a great
email
list
blast.
Of email contacts.
Yeah, like if you could just target whatever the senior centers are in Sussex County and the senior living. I mean, just another avenue, I'm just thinking. If you could do that, this way I'm not sure.
Okay,
so?
I'll look into it.
All right. When you get our emails, do you forward them to other people on your lists?
Depends on what it is,
right? Okay. I know Linda does because she's actually said to me, I'm going to send this to so-and-so and so-and-so. Okay. That's it, Anna? We got enough? Okay. All right. Now, I'd like to open this up to public comment, which is... Oh, Jamie. other additional... Are you okay?
Yeah. Last meeting we had discussion on the state plan for Alzheimer's up at Heritage at Milford. And after that, I called and Christine Steele and I went down to visit the new facility down at Stokely Center. I just found out about it this fall and didn't even know it was there. When we got down there, we found out it was built in 2009. So it's like we're way behind here. And the cottage that used to house Alzheimer's patients there is still there, but now they're down to 7 residents. They're not taking any new admissions, and when those people die off, that cottage will be closed. But this facility, it's a 59-bed facility, state-of-the-art, actually. Got a dental place in there, 2 chairs, got a couple of big activity rooms, just physical therapy. They contract out physical therapy. They have a medical end on it where they contract with other services. Light, windows, beautiful. If you've ever been in the old administration building at Stobley Center, you would really appreciate the new building. They have one hallway that's just administration, but it's not very large. But the rest of the facility is really nice. It's sprawling. It's not all jammed together. And I was really impressed with it. And Christine, chime in any time I miss something, but they are, the problem is they are a budget item through Disability Services, apparently. And so their funding is different than it would be from a facility. So because they get state funds, then they're supposed to provide disability services, and that's what they're supposed to do. So right now, they are only funding, they're only seeing patients who are either a resident there or who are in a group home or a foster care home that have been under their services for quite some time.
DDDS. They're DDDS
clients. And they've got all kinds of things. I mean, Telemann's on their campus. Gappy is on their campus. They've got the wellness clinic from Christiana Care. They come down and do a wellness clinic for HIV and TB.
Medical examiner.
Sussex County Medical Examiner's on there. I've got a lot of notes here, and I don't mean to read off the notes, but it's just a wonderful facility. We were hoping, what Rita Landgraf told me was that it was going to end up being, hopefully, a clinic for the seniors in Sussex County, and that could be true. But right now, they got a long way to go before any services are available to outside.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. Because, you know, when I was in the field, there was so much out there for people with developmental disabilities, particularly if they had case management services, which most did. But it was the other people with acquired disabilities that didn't have much, unless it's changed.
And they're starting with this telehealth. And there's a meeting on February 13th at the Julie Bailey Training Center that's ours in Smyrna. That they're going to be the task force is going to have a meeting up there. I'm going to go to the meeting to see what the telehealth thing is. Telehealth Coalition is what it's called. So there's a lot of potential right now. It's not very hopeful because they're not really making any plans. There's not anything definite, was my understanding. Wasn't that what you took?
It was basically what was presented to us at our last meeting from the deputy director was that you're going to work with the resources that you have. Advocacy, education, training, you know, they're open to housing, education, people from the outside coming in and providing, you know, teachings, but as far as developing new programs or reaching out specifically to dementia and Alzheimer's patients, I mean, a crisis center that could coordinate care.
It would be a place right now that would be worthwhile for us to have a meeting at.
I don't know about that. That may be a great idea, actually.
Because we have nothing past March scheduled.
The young lady that was sitting in the room. Will Adele be there?
Oh, right.
She's living
Rita.
She was.
Rita.
Oh,
I've been bugging her to death. She'll know I'm there.
I mean, we could do the March meeting there. No, March is
May.
May.
Do you want me to call Adele and see if... Okay.
Oh, it would, a tour to just, even if you haven't, it's just something you should experience.
Yeah.
See what, you know.
It's your tax dollars at work.
What adults with disabilities are receiving out there is amazing.
No, we have a meeting in March, April, May.
That's right.
So you can call, and then they can give us a tour, and they can talk about it.
I'll see if we can do it. And they had, well, the conference room we were in was awfully small, though.
They have other, they've had facilities there.
But they had the training. They had activity rooms. They had other places.
See if they can accommodate us. I don't think we're going to have any more than we have.
Oh, no, and Dennis did the training of 40 therapists there.
Yes.
So there's accommodations.
You think that's a good idea, Scott?
I mean, there's the all-star there. I can hold scores of people. That's away from the new medical center where my wife works. I don't know. It's I know, you know, my 34 years there in the administration, they get ICFMR funding.
Okay.
The facility. So as far as opening up that to the outside,
yeah, that
I mean, it's only through this effort that Rita has, I guess, started, or as far
is
as opening up the grounds.
I mean, okay, if we're advocating and spreading the word about services for people,
they're not doing it to anybody that's not already in there.
I don't think we should do
okay,
that.
So we won't ask.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
First of all, how big is Stoker's?
It has a campus of how many acres?
600.
What? All right, now there's homes there, I understand?
There's cottages, but most of the cottages are leased out. They're not actually filled with state offices, whatever.
Okay.
But now they've moved most of the administration and most of the activity is in this new building.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this is I've been in conversation with Mr. Peterson from the Delaware Veterans Home, and we have been talking about a PTSD, TBI type of facility. With the VA footing the bill. I would assume that we're talking about building a building. I know we're talking about building a building. Is there any possibility of Stokely Center?
They have vacant cottages, from what I understand, and vacant education rooms,
yeah,
that are only used maybe once or twice a year.
I mean, just off the...
right on the campus.
I would think your best bet would be constructing something on some of that adjacent land next to the cemetery.
Okay.
Which abuts next to Stokely.
Is that Stokely or is that the cemetery?
That's
part of Stokely's land.
Used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who would he contact to start to talk about this with?
You'd have to start with Adele.
At the
facility, I would think.
What I'll do is I'll bring this back up to Mr. Peterson, and we'll go from there. But there's a possibility of this happening. See, we were advised that was it. It's closed. They're not doing anything. You can't get in there.
I mean, the buildings at Stokely are maintained under the General Services Division of the state.
Okay.
So there's a financial interest in what goes into those buildings and how they're leased out, but as far as constructing something new,
I don't. Okay. But I mean, these buildings, are they occupied?
Some of them are not. I mean, some of them have. I mean, there's, I guess, an HIV clinic there.
I did a program there, and they just gave me the key to an education room. And when I finished, I locked up and took the key back to the administration office. But it's an education room, had desks. I mean, it was set up as an education room. I mean, what they're saying, though, is a lot of the building, they're at a point where a lot of the buildings are either going to have to be really renovated or torn down. And I don't know that they're going to do anything with any of them, but it doesn't hurt to ask.
Okay.
That's my motto.
You think Rita would be the person to...
She, it's actually Jane Gallivan is she's the disability services person that you would talk to in Dover. And Adele is the administrator of the Stokely Center. So I would start there and go up rather than start over her head and try to come down, because that doesn't work in Sussex County.
No, I
don't. Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Are you going to tour this
place? No, we decided not to, because there's nothing to offer anybody outside of this little... And they've been there since 2009, and that's it. So,
are you looking for venues?
Yeah. I think we try to go every other meeting to another venue, like,
because I don't know if you've ever had it at our Delaware Hospice Center community conference room, but
about a year ago.
Milford.
Oh, that's right.
We really should, because we went to Milford at another last meeting. We really should maybe start thinking about going west or south.
Cadbury would be a good venue.
Cadbury?
They have a nice auditorium. Cadbury at Lewis. It's a continuum of care.
Okay. Would you like to?
Do you want me to follow up with them? The Cadbury at Home program is brand new. I'm sure they may even want to talk a little bit about what they're doing in the community.
You work with Georgia Ann?
That would be Diane Willoughby and Cicely.
Georgia Ann
D.
Did she come here or did she come to the SALT meeting?
I can ask both. I mean, they're kind of parallel. They kind of operate sort of separate, but they're the same.
Well, we have a speaker for Amber from Porcino and Wells is going to be talking at the May meeting. And then, so we have a speaker for the May meeting, right? Mm-hmm. May? And we'll have it at, hopefully, you can get us to Cadbury.
Well, they'll probably want to speak a little bit too, so can they share the time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Sally, if you're going to you're going to be going in March.
You'll
be back here in May.
You
don't have to, but.
Where are you from?
We're going to be gone to
Bridgeville Senior Center.
To Lewis Senior Center.
Name's Annette.
No, in March.
I'm the executive director there now.
Cool. Is that where Fran's was?
Okay, so you have Fran's success in there.
Yes.
Very good. Are the Shevlin works in the, your section too?
Yes.
I bet you're the activity person.
President.
You're the president?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. You just look like a guy that might be doing the activities too. But maybe it's a small group. You probably do a lot of everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In a small nonprofit. Because you guys are standalone, right?
Yes.
You know? Oh, great, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Miss Linda.
Hi. And I miss it. Were you introducing ourselves?
Well, we're doing public comment. Just say hi and anything about
it. I haven't been here in a forever, ever. Linda Forte, and I'm with Easter Seals Community Relations. I think everyone here probably knows Leslie. Leslie was here before me. She is married and living in Happy Bliss in Virginia.
Yay,
and I'm happy to say she's doing great.
Good.
So, and I'm excited to be a part of this again.
Great. Welcome. I'm very happy that Easter Seals was fortunate enough to be able to get you on board.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, I was always aging, so now I'm disability. Now I'm aging, but I'm disability.
Well, it's
we're all connected.
Small
that's
world.
The best part.
Yeah,
we're
small,
all connected.
Anybody else want to introduce themselves and say anything about their what's going on there in their organization?
Hi, I'm Doris Schenbrenner. I'm the executive director of Heritage at Milford, and I know I have a person that comes and visits at Bridgeville, so I'm good. And also, if you ever, again, need a space for a meeting, my place is always open.
To live?
I have a meeting space, so either way.
You can meet and never leave.
And I'm Barbie McDaniel with Delaware Hospice, and my actual position, is, like I said, is I work part-time now because I need to spoil a grandchild 2 days a week.
Right.
But I visit all the physicians in the county, promoting our programs, letting them know the options of care. And just that we are still the only nonprofit hospice, which is huge. It always has been, and even more so now. We never turn anyone away. So any of the senior centers, we love to come out. We have people just dedicated to doing community awareness presentations. So that word hospice isn't so scary. And we do have the transitions, and now the palliative program, and lots of other things And then is Christina Wells, are they going to do advanced healthcare directives? Is that what they're?
I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah. We work with them all the time because April 16th is National Advanced Healthcare Directive Day. So we're doing a lot with that. Last year we were at every senior center we could be at with the forms, with our social workers, helping the members actually fill them out. And I think I shared last time, we went through a stack like that at the LIV conference.
Well, how about if you also please, well, as soon as we have the date, do that at the next LIV, because it'll be about safety and security,
yep,
which is
definitely
really important.
Yeah. It's just, it's all about awareness. So just let me know or give us a call if you would like anyone to come speak and just
Delaware
Hospice.
Okay.
Just dispel the myths.
Alexis?
Yes.
Right. Hi, good morning. My name's Alexis McKenzie, and I just wanted to give you a brief update on a great assessment tool that I've come across. It's called the BCAT, and it's the Brief Cognitive Assessment Tool, and there are five components, one of which is safety. So I'm now trained, and I'm a master clinician, so I'm able to administer these cognitive tests. And there are five different screening tools. And it's great because it accurately assesses the current cognitive and mood functioning of the individual. So facilities would benefit from this, doctors would benefit from this, you know, residents in the community would benefit from this. The Alzheimer's Association in Maryland is actually endorsing this tool, and they're very excited about it, so I am too. It doesn't take long at all. I mean, the kitchen picture test is less than 5 minutes. The brief cognitive assessment tool is 15 minutes for the full screening. And then there's a quick one for five. There's also one that's called the WIPE, which is a depression screening tool. And that just gives a basic read on, is someone possibly depressed or not? And that could be, you know, an underlying issue, which in the majority of people that are in a nursing home, depression is one of the most underdiagnosed illnesses that there is. So I just thought I'd put it out there. And the company that I subcontract for is called House Calls. We go into people's homes and we provide the mental health component. So we can send in social workers and psychologists, elder care consultants, which is what I am, recreation therapists, and life coaches. So it's great for people, you know, they don't have to leave their home, and if they need, you know, any kind of mental health services, we come to them, whether they're in a facility or in their home.
Are you going to be at the conference on Thursday?
I'm not going to be able to be. I know. I'm sorry.
Next time.
Did you bring some information?
I do.
Do you have a flyer or an information or something like that about this? Or?
Yes, actually, I have some cards with me, but I also were in the process of designing a brochure just for Delaware.
Great.
So
okay, that'd be wonderful.
As soon as I get those, I'll bring it.
Yeah, eventually, we'll hopefully, it's something that's another thing we can explore. Maybe Scott can go with this one. But, you know, we could, if we get people to start to go to the Sussex County website, we could also have attachments and different, you know, ways that if and when people start using that, we can post different things that are going on.
I think there's a page down for related links. That,
yeah. I haven't paid attention to that in a long time. So. And Linda, anything you want to say?
I will introduce myself. I'm Linda Rogers with RSVP, and you work with Maple Rilling. She does the virtual summer.
Good. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
The Alzheimer's Association is doing fundamentals of Alzheimer's care training. And we're doing Fact 1 and Fact 2 with the Fact training. Fact 2 training is going to be held on February the 4th at Brandywine in Rehoboth at 9 in the morning. Because of Griswold's generosity, I have 20 scholarships to this. They're usually we usually charge $35. This is for CNAs that need CEUs for hours. So it's a free. It's going to be a free training. I've got 20 more scholarships to get rid of.
That's awesome.
And so this is February 4th. If anybody's interested, there are the flyers. I just noticed that we're going to do the basics,
And Susan, if you would change on your, I picked up the old flyer. It got, our basics program got rescheduled at Methodist Manor House from January 22nd to February 6th. And it's going to be at 7:15 rather than 6 o'clock. So that's just about an hour, hour and a half program that is about memory loss, dementia, and Alzheimer's. You're starting, there's going to be a discussion about Alzheimer's and other dementias at our support group at Laurel Adult Care. That's on February 20th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, if anybody's interested in that. And then we're starting a brand new support group for caregivers down at the Ocean View Police Department. We have a gentleman that's going to facilitate that group. So it's gonna, the first program is going to be March the 6th. At 6 p.m., and we're going to have the discussion on Alzheimer's and other dementia. So if you're interested in any of this, except for these basics, I don't have the correct one here. I'm sorry.
Wow, you're busy.
Yeah, we are.
Are there any other...
Hi,
I should just say go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm Christine Steele from Griswold Home Care Services. For a non-medical home care company, might have met you, I'm not sure, but I did stop in to the Bridgeville Senior Center. But I would love to come and give our information to you and maybe set up a time when you can come in and see what we do. But non-medical home care agency, we want to help people age in place as well, no matter where they are. Facilities, assisted livings, in the home. That's it.
Bob, we're closing it out, so this is it.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Delaware Commission of Veterans Affairs and the Vietnam Veterans of America, I just want to say thank you. I hope you benefited a little bit from the presentation. I have some cards. If you need anything with veterans, please contact me or my wife. And, you know, we're coming. The veterans are coming. 65, the baby boomers. We're on our way, so look out, Delaware. You know, for information purposes, Delaware Veterans Home is finally full. So, where do the new veterans go? It's gonna be a bit of a problem, I would imagine. Just
and the majority of them World War II.
Yes. We didn't even start with the Vietnam veterans. And the career. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything, any additional business to bring to the committee or announcements or anything? Okay.
Did you sign in? I think there's someplace
I have it here.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I want to get you on our mailing, our distribution list.
Okay.
Linda, are you on the distribution list?
I just got
you
on
just
today.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Who?
All in favor?
I didn't hear who. I guess it doesn't matter.
Thanks a lot. Okay,
I think Jane.